Beginning of the End, Chapter 10, When Languages Were Changed. This chapter is based on Genesis chapter 9, verses 25 to 27, and chapter 11, verses 1 to 9. God had preserved only one family, the household of Noah, to repopulate the deserted earth. To him God declared, "I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation," Genesis chapter 7, verse 1. Yet in the three sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, the character of their descendants was foreshadowed. Noah, speaking by divine inspiration, foretold the history of the three great races that would be fathered by these three men. Tracing the descendants of Ham through the son rather than the father, he declared, "Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants he shall be to his brethren." The unnatural crime of Ham revealed the corruption of his character. These evil characteristics continued in Canaan and his descendants. On the other hand, the reverence shown by Shem and Japheth for God's laws promised a brighter future for their descendants. Concerning these sons, it was declared, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem, and may Canaan be his servant. May God enlarge Japheth, and may he dwell in the tents of Shem, and may Canaan be his servant." The line of Shem was to be that of the chosen people. From him would descend Abraham and the people of Israel, through whom Christ was to come. And Japheth will dwell in the tents of Shem. The descendants of Japheth were especially to share in the blessings of the gospel. The family line of Canaan descended to the most degrading forms of heathenism. Though the prophetic curse had doomed them to slavery, God bore with their corruption until they passed the limits of divine restraint. Then they became slaves to the descendants of Shem and Japheth. The prophecy of Noah did not determine the character and destiny of his sons, but it showed what would be the result of the path they had chosen and the character they had developed. As a rule, children inherit the dispositions and tendencies of their parents and imitate their example. Thus, the corruption and irreverence of Ham were reproduced in his posterity, bringing a curse upon them for many generations. On the other hand, how richly rewarded was Shem's respect for his father, and what a noble and honored line of holy men appears in his descendants. For a time, the descendants of Noah continued to live among the mountains where the ark had rested. As their numbers increased, apostasy led to division. Those who wanted to forget their Creator and throw off the restraint of His law felt constantly annoyed by the teaching and example of their God-fearing associates. After a time, they decided to separate. So they moved to Shinar on the banks of the Euphrates River, attracted by the beauty of the landscape and the fertility of the soil. Here they decided to build a city, and in it a tower, so high that it would be the wonder of the world. God had directed people to disperse throughout the earth, but these Babel builders determined to keep their community united and to establish a kingdom that would embrace the whole earth, so their city would become the capital of a universal empire. Its glory would draw the admiration and praise of the world. The magnificent tower reaching to the heavens was meant to stand as a monument of the power and wisdom of its builders. Those who settled on the plain of Shinar did not believe God's covenant, which promised that he would never bring a flood upon the earth again. One purpose in erecting the tower was to secure their safety in case of another flood, and because they would be able to go up to the region of the clouds, they hoped to learn the cause of the flood. The whole project was to exalt the pride of its developers and to turn future generations away from God. When the tower had been partially completed, suddenly the work that had been going along so well was stopped. Angels were sent to block the plan of the builders. The tower had reached a great height, and the workers were stationed at different points, each to receive and report to the one next below him the orders for needed material. As messages were passing from one to another, the language was confused, so that the directions delivered were often the opposite of those that had been given. All work came to a standstill. The builders were completely unable to account for the strange misunderstandings among them. In their rage and disappointment, they blamed one another. As an evidence of God's displeasure, lightnings from heaven broke off the upper portion of the tower and threw it to the ground. God's purpose in changing their language. Up to this time, everyone had been speaking the same language. Now those who could understand one another's speech united in groups. Some went one way, and some another. The Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth. This spread people all over the earth, and so the Lord's plan was accomplished through the very means by which some had tried to prevent its fulfillment. But at what a loss! It was God's plan that as people would go to different parts of the earth, they would carry with them the light of truth. Noah, the faithful preacher of righteousness, lived for 350 years after the flood, and Shem for 500 years. As a result, their descendants had opportunities to learn the requirements of God and the history of His dealings with the human race. But they had no desire to keep God in their knowledge, and by the confusion of languages, they were largely shut out from communicating with those who might have given them light. Satan was trying to bring contempt on the sacrificial offerings that pointed to the death of Christ. As the minds of the people were darkened by idolatry, he led them to counterfeit these offerings by sacrificing their own children on the altars of their gods. As people turned away from God, the divine traits of character, justice, purity, and love, were replaced by oppression, violence, and brutality. The residents of Babel had determined to establish a government independent of God. Some among them, however, feared the Lord. For the sake of these faithful ones, the Lord delayed His judgments and gave the people time to reveal their true character. The followers of God tried to turn them from their plan, but the people were fully united in their heaven-daring project. If they had gone on unhindered, they would have corrupted the world in its infancy. If this alliance had been permitted, a mighty power would have emerged to banish righteousness, and with it peace, happiness, and security from the earth. Those who feared the Lord cried out to Him to intervene, but the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. In mercy to the world, He defeated the plans of the tower builders, and in mercy He confused their speech, stopping their rebellion. God is patient with human wickedness, giving opportunity for repentance. From time to time His unseen hand is stretched out to restrain wickedness. The world receives unmistakable evidence that the Creator of the universe is the supreme ruler of heaven and earth. No one can defy His power without reaping the results. There are tower builders in our time. Humanists dare to pass sentence on God's moral government. They despise His law and boast of human reason. Then, because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11. Today's Tower of Babel. Many turn from the plain teachings of the Bible and build up a creed from human speculations and pleasing fables. They point to their tower as a way to climb up to heaven. Eloquent lips teach that the sinner will not die, that salvation may be had without obedience to the law of God. If the professed followers of Christ would accept God's standard, it would bring them into unity. But as long as human wisdom is exalted above God's holy word, there will be divisions and dissension. The existing confusion of conflicting beliefs and denominations is fitly represented by the term Babylon, which prophecy applies to the world-loving churches of the last days. See Revelation chapter 14, verse 8, chapter 18, verse 2. The time of God's investigation is very near. His sovereign power will be revealed, and the works of human pride will be brought to an end.